In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we're going to continue with volume 34, 3, 6, 1937. So Jesus says, the first thing that there is to communicate and make the creature feel the power, feel the love of my divine will is the whole of creation. So Jesus says, look at creation. You feel the power of God. When you, Niagara Falls, unbelievable. If you ever go onto what's the boat that goes near the falls, holy moly, the roar that's there and the power. And all the I love yous that are all around you, it's just astonishing. And that's our God. He is, you look at the ocean, you look at the sky, you look at the thunder, you look at the lightning, all that's happening all around you. It's just, wow. The God, he is powerful. He is holy. Now there is the second way, which is more splendid, more lavishing with love. So now Jesus is going to show us the way he wants us to see everything now, not just with what we see in creation. The love that burns us, triune God, our desire for creatures to possess our will as life is so great that each act, each thought, each word, each heartbeat, each work, each step that the soul does is a divine emanation that we give to her. Our divine being runs in each of her acts in order to give her from our own, and we surround it, we vivify it, so as to make it be reborn in our divine will. So here, everything that's around us, he says, take it, take this power, take this love of the rain. I mean, just as it's raining, take this and return it back to us with a divine I love you. Let it be reborn in our divine will. That's one of the things that Jesus is showing us. He's really beginning to show us this new and divine way of holiness. That's life. It's love. It's the light of God. And he wants us to enter into this. He says, this is more splendid, more lavishing with love, to take what's out there, to breathe it in with our eyes, our ears, our heart, our mind, our soul, our intellect, our memory, our will, to breathe it in, to give it back to God with Jesus's I love you. He's the newborn. He's the firstborn. He's the new Adam. And he gives this life to his little newborn, Louisa. Now, there is a third way in the circumferences of life, the occasions, in the order of our province. For each one, the mortifications, the sorrows, these are all means to develop in an admirable way the life of my divine will in them. So it's not only the beauty of creation all around us, it's the suffering that we're going through. He says, I allow souls to have suffering so that they can be more like me. I allow souls to have suffering so they can be more like my mother. When the Father sees a soul and who loves Jesus, he says, would you like to be more like him? And when the soul says yes, God goes, good. He says, I'm going to give you more. And what it is, it's to develop an admirable way, the life of my divine will in the mortifications, in the sorrows, in the sufferings that we go through. So all of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are going through this. And it's part of the fallen nature. And Jesus is asking us, would you be willing to do this one with me? And when we say yes, how magnificent, developed in an admirable way, the life of my divine will in us because of what Jesus went through and what Mary went through. Therefore, there is nothing in which it does not prepare its prime act of life to give to humanity. It's in everything that we think, say, and do. It's our intellect, memory, and will. It's to participate in this new and glorious sharing in divinity. which the priest says every day at Holy Mass. Oh, if all paid attention, oh, how happy they would feel. See, a lot of times we look at our suffering as ow, 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 ow. And it's like, you know, if you paid attention to why you were going through this, thank you, Jesus. It's always a fiat. You stub your toe. Instead of a swear word, train yourself to say fiat. Thank you, Lord. I can share in your sufferings in this little way. It's to train yourself continuously. If you paid attention, how happy you would feel, secure under the reign of a will so holy that loves them so much as to reach the excess of wanting to form its life in the poor soul. So that's what Jesus is doing. Each and every one of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, some to a greater, lesser, greater, or some to a lesser extent. Again, this is the fallen nature that we have found ourselves in. Jesus has redeemed us. And now is the time for sanctification. That's why he says the souls who live in the divine world will be the survivors of this great chastisement. Why? Because we're getting ready for heaven and heaven's coming. We got to go through this. This is the birth pains of a woman in labor. The pains get more and more intense and more frequent. Why? The child is coming. But once the child comes, it's a new beginning. And that's what's happening with us. It's a new and divine way of holiness that the Lord is offering to us. 534, 314, 1937. My sweet Jesus showed how he held inside his divine heart all the acts done in his holy divine will, including those of the celestial mama, Mary, and they were many. And inside each act of the life of the divine will generated in it, as though unable to contain them any longer, he moved his step to go around all generations, all human generations. And wherever he found a soul who was more disposed, here's the word disposed again. That's what God is waiting for. He approached the soul. He embraced the soul. He whispered to her ear, blowing his breath into her, filling her with this Ruach of God, as though wanting to renew the new creation. Then, as though in feast, he deposited the life of his will together with the act, and he did not want to detach that act from the life of his will. In fact, it being the primary act in which he generated his life, he did not want to detach it, wanting to make use of it as custody for his own life. So think about it. Everything that we think, say, and do, Jesus says, I want to be there. I want this to be my life, so that your life would be full. So he whispers in our ear. And this is what he's doing with the Book of Heaven. As we read it, he's speaking to us. He's talking to us. He's echoing in our heart, our mind, our soul, what he has planned for us. Listen to him. We hear Jesus in silence. And if there's not silence in our life, if there's the television going on, the radio going on, there's noise, Jesus says, go to silence. I was talking to Brother James recently, and down at he's in the monastery. I can't think of the name of it, but he says, what I love is silence. He says, I walk in the field and it's silent. He says that I can hear God, I can see God, I can smell God, I can taste God. Silence is beautiful. When I used to give retreats to the teenagers, I would say to them, I'm going to give you a gift that you don't know. It's a gift of gifts. It's so beautiful. And they went, I said, it's silence. And they go, silence? What kind of, they didn't like it at first. But by the end of the retreat, they went, you know, silence is really a gift. Because see, we have the noise all around us, the television, the radio, the newspaper, all around us. And we can't hear God. This is why I love going to the Holy Eucharist. It's silent in church. You sit there and you're one with God. You can hear him. This is what he's doing. He loves us so much. He says, Volume 34, 523, 1937, my daughter, the creature calls my divine will into her act. So again, come divine will. When the phone rings, come divine will, speak in my speaking, listen in my listening. When the doorbell rings, come divine will, let me answer the door. One with you, Lord. When you're driving your car, come divine will. You're always calling upon the divine will. This is, you're putting yourself in training. See, this is what he says. As the creature calls my divine will into her acts, Lord, walk in my walking. Lord, eat in my eating. Lord, drink in my drinking. Lord, dance in my dancing. Lord, sing into her acts in order to live in the divine will. My divine will invests the soul in her act with a creative strength and renews its divine life in the soul. It's new. I don't care if you sing the same song every single day. When you do it in the divine will, it's brand new. And there's more beauty in that song that you've memorized than ever before. As he says, as you pay attention, as you listen, as you enter into this gift. Suppose that she calls the divine will while she is operating. Listen to what my divine will does. It calls and acts all the times she has operated. Now think of it. You sang a song 1,000 times. All of those calls, all the songs. It unites them together as if they were one single act, and putting in its creative strength, it transforms everything she has done. This is not just the songs, everything that you have thought, said, and did, and is doing in the divine will, seals it on the divine sanctity of its works. It gives the soul the new merit, the glory, as if she has done everything anew, all over again, for the love of the divine will. Do you see why you even repeating prayers? Some people say it seems repetitive. Yes, it's as Jesus says, I transform everything. He says, unites them together in one single act. He says, so everything is done in doing in the divine will, seals it on the divine sanctity of its works, and gives the soul the new merit as if it's brand new. She's never done this before, but now it's everything being done. Next day, everything that's being done. The next day, everything that's being done. This is what God is doing. If she loves, she calls back to love life all the times she is loved, and makes them one single love. See, this is a glorious time to be alive. Glorious time to be alive. Everything can be repaired. Everything can be redone in the most holy divine will. Everything can be renewed in the holy divine will. Psalm 35, 8:15, 1937. Furthermore, you must know that living in our divine will is unity. So much so that if the creature loves, God is always at the head of her love. Therefore, his love and hers are one. If she thinks, God is at the head of her thoughts. If she speaks, God is the origin of her words. If she works, God is the prime actor and operating in her works. If she walks, God places himself at the head of her steps. Therefore, now this is what Jesus wants us to know. Whatever you think, say, and do, to live in my divine will is nothing other than the life of the creature in God and the life of God within the soul. Jesus, he says, I want you to be my tabernacle because I want to be your tabernacle. It's to enter into God and God to enter into us. This is why he created us, to be in his image and likeness. This is why he's teaching us this great gift of the divine will, to begin to live a life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. Listen to that. To live in my divine will is nothing other than the life of the soul in God and the life of God within the soul. Psalm 35, 11, 12, 1937. Our divine will can give us anything, although it makes use of the act of the creature by taking love toward the one who lets it operate in her act. So Jesus says, as you let this, you make this disposition, you want the divine will to operate in what we think, say, and do. I want this. And then you call on the divine will. Come, divine will. Swim in my swimming. Come, divine will. You know, walk in my walking. You, as long as you do this, the act says, the divine will says, I give you everything, my daughter. Basically, when we want the divine will to reign in us, God says, everything is yours. That was Adam. That was the life of Jesus and Mary. I place in you before the supreme majesty as the one who is loved for all, for each one, and has given us, God, the glory, the adoration of every human being, past, present, and future, and has made us loved even by the sun and by the heavens. The whole of creation was harmonizing, and all created things were saying among themselves, love, love to our Creator. Therefore, to you, this is to each and every one of us, I give the merit of everything. All is yours. Image and likeness. My divine will cannot operate, nor does it want to, unless it encloses everything and does everything. See, this is why this isn't holy. This is divine. As St. Peter said in his epistle, we are called to be divinized, not to become gods, but to share in divinity. I remained surprised, and I said to myself, is it possible? Is all this really possible? That's our question. Is this possible? Jesus is saying this. Is he speaking? Is this true? And my dear Jesus added, now he speaks back to us because this is our question. My daughter, do not be surprised. One single act of my divine will is greater than heaven and earth. It's God. It's God. And he wants us to participate in him, entering into the Son of the divine will. Its immensity has no boundaries. Its power has no limits. It holds everything and everyone in the palm of its hand. Therefore, it is operating it in an act of infinite love. We're participating in this. That can say love for everyone and for everything, past, present, and future. And after it has loved for everyone, past, present, and future, oh, how much of this love is left. See, it's to enter into heaven while on earth. It's to participate in this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. The saints taught us how to do the will of God. Jesus is now teaching us through Louisa how to live in the will of God. And oh, how glorious this is. This is amazing. This is astonishing. Our God is offering this to us. And all he says basically, trust me. The final devotion that I give to my church is, Jesus, I trust in you and watch what I'm going to do. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our all. He's everything. And he says, I want you to be in my image and likeness again from the beginning. Volume 35, 12, 25, 19, 37. In descending from heaven to earth, I, Word of God, Son of the Father, departed from our primary position. Or rather, I stayed and I left. The Father and the Holy Spirit descended with me, and they concurred and were concurrent. Neither did I do a single act, if not together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. They remained on the throne, full of divine majesty in the celestial regions, yet also did everything one with me. See, it's not the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what God wants us to possess. Volume 35, 130, 1938, my little daughter, of my divine will. So many are the yearnings and longings of my divine will, for it wants to operate in the soul, in the act of the creature, that it begins spying. Here's the eye again. To see whether the soul calls, come divine will, as prime act. Come divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come divine will, dance in my dancing. Come divine will, drive in my driving. Of all her acts. And if it is called, see, Jesus is saying you have to do this. It's not just going to happen. Jesus says you have to be disposed to call upon the divine will. Come divine will. Answer the phone when I answer the phone. Come divine will. Shovel the snow as I shovel the snow. Come divine will. Come rain in me. This is what's so great. It's prime act of all her acts. If it is called, the divine will becomes festive. The divine will runs and blowing its breath into the acts of the creature. It impresses its creative strength and converts it into divine nature. God is doing this. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort said. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. What's the greatest thing? Jesus says, it impresses its creative strength and converts any act, any thought, any word into divine nature, because God is doing it. Jesus is doing it. So this creature feels the nature of the divine love investing her, surrounding her, and flowing like blood inside her veins, even in the marrow of her bones, in the beating of her heart. It's God. See, what we've learned for so long is how to be good and holy and saintly. Jesus says, no. What the priest says every day at Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Great things are right around the corner. Amazing things are right around the corner. And Jesus is asking us to do it. He didn't give this to the saints because they didn't have Louisa. He's given it to us. So he says this, volume 36, 6, 5, 1938. My blessed daughter, I did the creation and all the creatures to form my delights in them. My delight is in creation. Look at the sunsets. Delight is in them and in us. He says, I'm going to make of my children my divine masterpiece to express from the Supreme Being the excess of our love and the marvelous power of our works. And if we delighted so much and created so many different things in creation, in the order of creation, having to serve mankind, we delighted even more in doing unheard of prodigies in the little children, the holy divine will. Works never before considered. Enrapturing beauties for the soul who had to serve us, mankind, and the prime act of creation. And we were able to always so be always so delighted in him. This is small h, to keep us always busy doing as many things we could for him, small h. It's mankind. God is doing everything for us. What can we give to holy, holy, holy God Almighty? Nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing. And that's the way he wants it. He says, I want to fill you with myself. I want to fill you with divinity. I want you to share in my divinity. I want you to participate in who I am. That's what God is doing. He loves us so much. He on the other side was supposed to remain always with us, to love us and to let himself be loved, receiving the great wonders of our works. So he says, you must know. And again, if you haven't read the You Must Know book, find it. It's on luispicarad.me. There's other sites too. And read it. He says, this is God's command. Do you want to live in the divine will? You must know this. So listen to what he says here. You must know that as the soul does her acts in our divine will, our love is such that we, triune God, centralize our supreme being in the soul, together with all of our works. And our will loves the soul so much because the soul does her acts in our divine will, that it multiplies her and gives her a place wherever the divine will is. This is, again, by location. It keeping the soul close in all its works, we triune God cannot stay without this creature who lives in our divine will. We become one with God, fused with God. Again, fusing is two pieces of metal being welded together, not to be broken. We would have to split our will in two, but our will cannot be divided. It is always one and one single act. So our Lord is telling us, get ready for what he is going to do. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. He's getting everything in order. Everything is getting in order in the church and the world. God is getting everything ready for what he has planned to do. The evil one thinks he's going to beat God. I mean, come on. What's wrong with you? I mean, God is going to win. The kingdom is going to be established. And we have to live. He says, you are the ones that have to live heaven now, so that the kingdom can be established, because you're here and I'm bringing the kingdom to you. So what is he doing? He's asking us to so trust in him, so believe in him, that there's no worries, fears, anxieties, complaints, negativities, to the point of someday no more sin. But God is saying to us, what do you want? I have to give this to you. What do you want? And the more we say yes to God, the more he says, good, watch what I'm going to do. Volume 36, 7-11. Not bad. 1938. My daughter, our divine will circulates in all created things as blood in the veins. It's Think about that. Without the blood in our veins, we can't live. Without the divine will, we can't live. The primary act, the motion, the heat, is always its own. But if my divine will finds a creature who recognizes the divine will and lives in the divine will, while the divine will keeps circulating in everything, it concentrates in this soul, forming its own support to operate God's divine marvels. And while with divine power and divine immensity, it never leaves anyone. See, he's saying to watch what I'm going to do with the little children, the holy divine will. It operates, it communicates its communications with this soul for the benefit of those souls who have ears to listen. That's us, hopefully. He says, what God is doing with Louisa, he says, it's going to be for the benefit of those souls who have ears to hear. Are we listening to Jesus? Are we reading? Are we studying? Are we putting this into practice? He says, ears to listen to them, intelligence to understand them, a heart to receive them and love them. That's what God is waiting for. The book of heaven is to listen to Jesus. The book of heaven is to give us a deeper understanding of the truths that Jesus has breathed into Louisa. It gives us our heart to receive these truths, to love them, these truths, and to put them into practice, to let them reign in us. He says very clearly, it will be a benefit for those souls who are reading, studying, and putting this into practice. Hopefully that's us. Hopefully, I said to a friend of mine once, you know, where's the book of heaven? He says, on my desk. And I said, are they getting dust on your desk? I don't care if they're on your desk. Are you reading them? Are you studying them? Are you putting them into practice? Are you listening to Jesus? This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting that drop of water into the chalice. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for this to happen, and it's going to happen. For those souls who have ears to hear, to listen, the intelligence to understand them, the heart to receive them and love them. Hopefully that's us. And again, if it's not us, again, the divine will is really nothing to us. 536-724-1938. My divine will is light while love is heat. They are inseparable. Light cannot stay without heat. Neither can heat be with no light. They seem to be twins born of one birth. However, the first one is to be born is the light, and the heart arises. And so the heat is the son of the light. In the same way, my divine will holds its primary act while love remains its favorite daughter, its inseparable firstborn. What we're beginning to understand how we are to live. We're to live in this love, this light, this life of God. If my divine will does not want, does not move, does not want to work, love would remain hidden inside its mother doing nothing. If instead my divine will wants to operate, love runs, love flies, and is all attentive in works and steps without ever tiring. It is this way also with humanity. So God's got plans. That's why he says the survivors will be living in the divine will. The kingdom's coming, and we're learning how to live it now amid all the rearranging of the chairs on the deck. That's what's happening. God is getting everything in order. The kingdom is coming. Volume 36, 11:6, 1938. My good daughter. And he uses good. Remember in the scripture, Jesus said to the boy, my good teacher, he goes, why are you calling me good? Well, don't you know only God is good? See, Jesus is saying to him, only God is good. And what's he saying to us? My good daughter, she is one. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, she's one. And he wants us to understand who Louisa is. She's not God, but she's one with God. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. My divine immensity is unreachable. The creature can never embrace it at all. And no matter how much we give this soul of ourselves, she is like little drops compared to our divine immensity. It is sufficient to say that even one single act of ours, our will is so huge as to surpass all possible and imaginable beings. It is to enclose and to embrace everyone and everything. Do you see what God is doing? He wants us to enter into his image and likeness by living in his divine will. Therefore, when the creature offers her act to be invested by our divine will, the glory we, triune God, receive is so great that it occupies the whole of creation. Do you see what God is asking us to participate in? This is the response of all of creation. This is what Adam was supposed to do. And Adam lost it. So who comes to earth? Jesus and Mary. To what? To redeem us. Why? So that we can be sanctified. Now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now's the time for sanctification. And he says, do you want it? This is why I created you to live at this time, Jesus says. I predestined you to live at this time. I've saved the best for last. This is what I want to give to mankind. Do you want it? And our response should be, absolutely, absolutely do I want this. This is everything. This is everything. And our Lord is asking us, he's asking us, would you be willing to say yes to what I want to bring about? And it's the fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. With her fiat mihi, incarnation took place. We were redeemed because of her yes. Now with Luisa's fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I want to give this to humanity. Do you want this for humanity? And when we say, yes, let it be done to me as you say, God says, good, get out of the way. I'm going to do this. This is the joy of the divine will. We've been striving to be saints all her life and we're failures. Every week we go to confession. We're not good at this. So Jesus says, I'll take care of it for you. Sanctification is what I'm going to do for you. So this is the thing that's so amazing. It's that yes to God. Let it be done as you say. The creation, in fact, is without reason, while the act in which the creature lets us operate has the fullness of the human reason that, invested by the divine reason, surpasses heaven and earth, the sun, and all that exists. You see what God is doing? He's telling us, get ready for this great outpouring of divine love upon the earth. It's going to be so much divine love, heaven is going to be here. This is the fire that's going to come to consume the world in love is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through Luisa. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is this fire of God's love. Yeah, we're doing a picture of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is all on fire. His halo is on fire. His heart is on fire. His wings are on fire. You know, we picture a white dove. Wait till you see what God's got planned for humanity. It's a new beginning, a new understanding of the love of God. And God is saying, I want you to be so one with me that you're on fire as well. You're consumed in the love of God. This is heaven. This is what's coming. A lot of people go, I don't like fire. I got burned a couple of times. It's not human. It's divine. And so what Jesus is explaining to Luisa, a lot of times Jesus says, open your mouth as wide as a bird so I can fill it. And people said to me, I don't want to receive chopped up worms vomited back into my mouth. I'm going, what is wrong with you? You know, God isn't going to do that. He says, I'm your mama bird. I want to fill you with divinity. I want to fill you with all that I am. You know, I don't like this romantic thing between Jesus and Luisa. I don't think that it's a baby. Luisa's the baby. Jesus is the father holding his little daughter, kissing his little daughter. It's not romantic. Well, I don't, I mean, we've got to get away. We've got to begin to see things from a divine perspective. When we see things from a human perspective, we become confused, to say the least. God has got great plans, and he's asking us, listen to him. He'll explain everything to you as you read, as you study. It's so beautiful, this gift of gifts, this treasure. He says to Louisa in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, he says, Louisa, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you all his divine secrets and divine treasures. Why? Why? So that you, Holy Spirit, can help people be filled with this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this second Pentecost, where the world is going to be on fire. Now, there will be souls who don't want what God wants, and that fire will be wailing and grinding of teeth because it's the love of God and they don't want it. It's going to be painful to them. They don't want God. For those who love God, it will be ecstasy. Let's look at the image of Saint Catherine of Siena. She's being consumed in love with that mystical marriage. Look at Saint Teresa of Avila, consumed in love by the fire of God's love. It's just a scratch of what we're going to get. He's going to consume us to the point that we become one with him. That's what he originally planned. That's his divine masterpiece, to be like him, image and likeness, in the way God has planned for humanity, for each and every one of us to be one with him. Jesus says this, volume 36, 11, 26, 19, 38, you must know that one act done in our divine will is greater than the rising sun that invests the entire earth, the sea, and the founts. In hearing this, I thought to myself, if a creature living in our divine will, still on her journey on earth, can do so much with one single act, now this is important, how much more shall the blessed do in heaven, since they have perennial life in the divine will? Okay, this is important. Jesus says, my daughter, there's a great difference between the saints and the traveling soul, the pilgrim soul on earth. The blessed, the saints have nothing to add since their life, their acts, their human will remain fixed within us, triune God. For the soul on our journey, now he's talking about us. Listen to what he says. We circulate the coin of merit. Our divine image is coined on each one of her acts, animated by our divine will. These coins have infinite value. So whatever she wants, she has the money to pay me for anything she wants. So what he's saying is the souls on earth have more than the souls in heaven if they're striving to live in the divine will. The souls in heaven can't do an act anymore. We can do an act. This is why our prevening act in the morning, our actual acts throughout the day are so essential. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, walk in my walking. Come, divine will. It's this act, he says, circulates this coin of infinite value. So whatever she wants, she has the money to pay me. We buy this from God. See, to live in the divine will is everything. We have no idea how fortunate we are to be alive. I know some people say, all I want to do is get into purgatory. Just let me die and get to purgatory and I'll be happy. No. Jesus says, I want you to live heaven on earth now before you die. I want you to live heaven on earth now before you die. See, we have every leaf on a tree is that I love you. We can breathe this divine I love you back to God, Jesus, and us doing it. The saints can't do that in heaven. They can't do an act in heaven. Their life is over. They need a body to do this. We're the ones with bodies. We can do this. Our intellect, memory, and will. I want to stay alive as long as I possibly can to do as many acts and rounds in the divine will as I possibly can do. This to me, it's Jesus saying, you know, you're here for a short time. He says, basically, what do you want to do while you're here? I remember you know, getting in a car accident and was almost killed. And I said to God, I got to do something that's important. My life is just, you know, of no value. What can I do that's important that will help souls? And out of God's grace, had this great opportunity to read Louisa in 1976, to know Louisa. And it's a new beginning now. Every day is new. Every day is new. And I want to live as long as I possibly can to do as many acts and rounds in the divine will as God will let me. To give all God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that he, God, so rightly deserves in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That's heaven while on earth. 536, 12, 8, 1938. My flight in the divine will continues. It seems to me that, now it's really funny, when my father, during the war, was an air base north of Corrado. If you go on route, I think it's A-16, that there's bridges. I used to call it the bridges to nowhere. You know, you drive down, there's a bridge. There's nothing on either side. You drive down a little farther, there's another bridge. But what is this place? Well, that was the airfield that my father used to fly in. It was about maybe 40 minutes from Luisa's house. And Luisa would see the planes coming in, landing, that were during World War II. So when you see this, my flight in the divine will continues. By seeing these planes, flying in, she would say, I want to do this. Jesus would say, let your flight continue, Luisa. Because he'd have fun with her all the time. It seemed to me that it can be found in all things, okay? The divine will is all things, natural and spiritual. Saying with unspeakable love, I am here, let us act together. In our prayer, God says, I am here, let us act together. As you're walking, I am here, let us walk together. And when you're eating, I am here, let us eat together. You see what Jesus is doing? The divine will can be found in all things, natural and spiritual. Saying with unspeakable love, I am here. Let's act together. Do not do it by yourself. See, we're never alone. When somebody says to me, I lost my spouse, you go, well, that's a great suffering. You lost half your life, but you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And that's what he's showing us. Do not do it by yourself. You're not alone anymore. Without me, you wouldn't know how to do it in the way I, God, would do it. I would remain at the pain of having been put aside while you remain in the sorrow of not having in your acts the value of one single act of my divine will with me, Jesus Christ. He's saying this to us. Don't be alone anymore. Oh, I'm so lonely. No, you're not. What's wrong with you? Jesus is with you. This is what he says. I would remain in the pain of not having been put aside, and you would remain in the pain of not having in your acts the value of Jesus doing this with you. Jesus breathing my breathing. Jesus beating my heart beating. Jesus dancing my dancing, singing my singing. I don't want to do anything alone anymore. I want to do it one with you, Lord. The soul that unites with my holy humanity in all her acts and pains, by wanting to find my divine will and make it her own, breaks the veil of my holy humanity, finding in my acts the divine fruit, the divine life, the divine prodigies that my holy divine will did within me, God, and receiving all that I did within me as her own life. This is what's coming. This is what's here. My holy humanity shall serve to help and guide each and every one of us, showing each and every one of us how to live with the divine will, within the divine will, within the light, true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. We'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray for all the little children, the holy divine will to be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer may become God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.